Well, welcome to Collective Church. Thank you for tuning in to this sermon, and I really do hope Jesus speaks to you in the midst of this sermon. But as a pastor, I just want to encourage something. If you're only tuning in online, we just want to say thank you and welcome, but also to push you towards finding a local church where you can be a part of a local body physically. So thank you for tuning in. You can find any information at collectivechurch.co, and grace and peace be with you. Glad to be with you guys. Hello, Facebook and TikTok. Let me open this up in prayer. Father, I thank you for moments that you want to redirect how we worship. And I love how you took a hold of Nick's heart and led him into a new song. And Father, I just pray that you use me and you touch someone's soul through this message that you've given me. And thank you for personally enlighten me on this passage, and I just thank you for tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So someone must have went out and looked for him. Like, someone must have looked for him. Someone cared enough for him, they must have went and looked. And this is how they found him. And someone knew and loved him, but he could barely hear. He could barely hear, he had a hearing impairment, and he can't even read. So there was a huge snowstorm, and someone found him this way. Someone found him this way. And he was dead. He passed away. And this little shepherd boy, I want everyone to participate, everyone online. I want you guys to stick out your right hand, actually palm facing you. And I want you to grab your ring finger, the ring finger. I want you to grab your ring finger and hold it close to your chest. Grabbing your ring finger and holding it close to your chest, okay? And this is how, JC showed up, so hi, love you girl. We're gonna take our right hand really quick, and we're gonna hold our ring finger on our right hand and hold it close to our hearts. This is how they found this young boy dead and uncovered from the snow. And I want to read this story to you guys. You guys, this is what kind of shock I wanted. The faces that you guys have, like, replicating a dead person right now. And this is what I want to read you guys, this story, because this story touched my soul so much. That is why I'm preaching on it today. This story, and I want to read you guys this story. High on the moors in the Welsh Highlands, two ministers. So just imagine Nick and I going out in the Welsh Highlands, met a young shepherd boy who had impaired hearing and was illiterate. They explained that Jesus wanted to be his shepherd, who would always look after him after the boy looked after his sheep. So this little boy, illiterate, hearing impaired, was a shepherd. They taught him to repeat these words, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." Using the fingers and the thumb of his right hand to help him remember, starting with the thumb and then a finger for each word. They told him to pause at the fourth word, "my." Okay, and remember, the psalm was meant for me. So this is the replication, guys. The Lord is my shepherd. So the fourth finger, the Lord is my shepherd. And you're holding your right, and it's me. And so these two ministers wanted this young shepherd to remember these things, that this psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd," this psalm was meant for him. The two ministers wanted to know that they could barely hear, and they taught him this, and they wanted him to know that this psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd," was meant for him. And so the previous winter, there had been terrible storms, and the boy had died on the hills, buried in a snowdrift. The villager who was telling the story said, "There was just one thing, though, however, that we didn't understand. When his body was discovered, he was holding the fourth finger of his right hand." And so he was experiencing this storm, this snowstorm, and he knew he was done. He knew he was going to die. And all he could remember, and this touched my soul, was to grab his ring finger and remember that the Lord is his shepherd. And he held it close, and he passed away in the storm. And that's how they found him. And this parable, this story, illustrates that God, the nature of God's personal love for each one of us. So many people today including me, as you know, when I first became a Christian, thought that God was this far off person, high above everyone, looking down and saying, you guys, you need to do better. You need to go this way. You need to do what you're told. And that's how we imagine God. However, the God of the Bible is very different. His relationship with us is personal. So Paul wrote, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He is my God, he says in Philippians 4:19, and God loves me. And I don't know about you guys, but I need a very, very, very personal God. I need a very, very personal Savior. Because when I became a Christian, I knew by the wise counsel of really good friends that I needed to, well, a good friend rather, to stop hanging out with the friends I grew up with. Can anybody relate to that? I found Jesus when I was 26, and all the friends that I knew were partying and drinking and still living that kind of life, one night stands. They were just after women, after drugs, after alcohol, they were still going. And then all of a sudden I became very isolated, very lonely. My mentor at the time, like one person I met at the church or whatever, and I'm like, you know, trying to get advice, try to get guided down the right path. And he says it's a good idea to stop hanging out with those people. And he was right, but I needed a very personal God because I was very lonely. And I know some of us, even in the Christian faith and in community, we can be lonely. And it could be distressing to know if God was far off. And this is just a simple reminder that the Lord is my shepherd. And, you know, none of us have kids except for Brian, right? And this is something in the future, well, online too, that you can teach to memorize a verse. You know, this is something that I would probably teach my fifth graders if I was a fifth grade pastor still, or my junior hires, that the Lord is my shepherd. And it's, you have a Bible verse memorized now. But it's really clearly that, like, I know we all need a personal shepherd. When we're driving home late at night, when we're on in our beds, watching the fans spin, we can't sleep, and we're just sitting there, and we're wondering why and how our life is like this, or when is it gonna change, and we need I've needed such a very personal Savior, and to a person that he calls friend. Did you know that Jesus calls you friend? And just like I think talking about relationship, you need to talk to Jesus as if he is your closest friend. I know we all have a tendency, I'm included in this, that we have a tendency to reach out to the people close to us, humans, before we reach out to our Savior in Jesus, our shepherd. We want to complain, we want to gossip, we want to vent, we want to get stuff off our chest, we want to work through a problem, we want to solve problems, we want a solution, we want to know which way to go, what choice to make, and we always go to humans first. And this is just kind of a reminder that you have a human that is a closer, he's a human, but you have a very, very personal shepherd in which we should go to first. And so I just want to go over the shepherd's touch, experiencing God's personal love. And I just needed that reminder. I read that story and realized that he passed away and was holding close. This, you guys, loved ones, they did not teach this young shepherd boy penal substitutionary atonement. He did not teach them the doctrine of grace. He did not teach all the doctrines that we can kind of get wrapped up in, or he say, she say, all this stuff. They taught this boy that the Lord is his shepherd. And that's what he went to the grave with. And we just need to simplify it. And it's a beautiful thing, the shepherd's touch. How has Jesus touched your life? How has he changed it? How has he guided you into the everlasting love of the shepherd? So number one, the personal shepherd. I love this quote from Charles Spurgeon, "What a mercy it is to be saved and to know it." What a mercy it is to be saved and know it. We must know it and know it for ourselves. If I ask 100 Christians, I know I like to use that analogy, but how many of us could get up here right now and say, I am saved because of, and blank, and fill in the gaps, and be able to say, I am saved and I know it. And that's knowing your Bibles and knowing the scriptures and knowing Jesus, knowing Jesus. So let me read that quote again. I love it. What a mercy it is to be saved and to know it. We must know it. Loved ones, we must know that we're saved and know it for ourselves. That the perfect, perfect, perfect scripture, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. What a mercy. What a mercy. It just reminds me of the revelation that I had a couple weeks ago. Here I am, just woke up in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden, 10 minutes later, I'm driving towards the bay in New York, near Long Island. I'm driving towards the bay, and it's 2 or 3 in the morning. I'm driving there, and I'm just weeping. I'm just weeping. I needed to get to water. I was just struggling to figure out what to do next and what steps to take and all this stuff. And then the Lord just woke me up and shouted in a nice, not, you know, shouted, he's not mean, but like a compassionate father, like as a friend, he says, you don't deserve any of this. And that set me ablaze, the mercy of God. You don't deserve any of this. And I just want to kind of remind us in a tangent way, Jesus plus nothing is everything. Jesus plus nothing is everything. Okay, just hear me out, right? I do not deserve. Sometimes I get frustrated with the church and my ministry and my life and my relationships and stuff like that. I get frustrated. And yet the Lord reminded me 2 weeks ago, and I want this to change your guys' life because it changed mine. You don't deserve any of what you have. You don't deserve the jobs that you have. You might have worked hard, but I want to simplify it, that the Lord gave you all those opportunities. He put you in the family that you grew up with, in the situation you grew up with, to lead you to the path of the job and the current financial situation you have. You've worked hard, but the Lord gave you those opportunities, opened those doors. If you believe that the Lord God is all sovereign over everything and has planned your whole life out and knows the ins and outs, and knows your heart, mind, and soul through and through, you know that he's sovereign and he's given you what you have. And so it's the little things like, man, I don't even deserve the coffee that's sitting back there. I don't deserve the money that I had. And yet the Lord chose to bless me. If you guys really hold on to whatever you're struggling with, if you're struggling with something, you're anxious about something, or you're depressed about something, You can literally probably look around on the clothing that you have, the phone that you do have, the money that you do have, and you're like, I don't deserve any of this, and yet you chose to give it to me. And so that's been a mantra, or like now an ingrained dogma into my life of, Zach, you don't deserve any of this. And if my emotions get ahead of me, or I get upset at a little thing, or I get irritated because I can't control something or whatever, I'm like, wait, backtrack, because this is a new revelation. How long does a new revelation take that you learn from the Lord to actually get ingrained into your life as a habitual stance and a foundation that you can stand on? Probably a long time. But you don't deserve it. You don't deserve the car that you're driving. You don't deserve the friends that you have. Biblically speaking, if you're a Christian, you deserved death. You deserve death, and yet God, Jesus saved you and blessed you and gave you an abundance with love. And so everything added onto it, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. But every little intricacy added onto that, my goodness, thank you, Lord. And may we have a refrain of the mercy and get reminded of the mercy, what it is to be saved. I know some of you guys grew up in the church. What a mercy it is that you're saved. What a mercy it is that you're saved. So number one, the personal shepherd. Number two, the shepherd's provision. Kind of goes into what I just talked about a little bit. But John Tyson says, God's provision isn't just about meeting our needs. It's about revealing his heart for us. The Lord is so for you. He's so for. God's provision isn't just about meeting our needs. How many of us are asking things? I played a trick on some people that I asked, like, what are you praying for? You know, what are you longing for? What do you need right now? You know, not one single soul said, Oh, I just need to get closer to God. I need to be in His presence more. And it's kind of a trick question, but there's nothing wrong with getting some needs materialistically that you, humanly speaking, need. But it's about revealing His heart for us. The Lord is for us. There's two themes in the Bible. If you read your entire Bible, there's two themes. Number one, His need for Almighty God to worship Him. His need, you know, it's all over the scriptures. There's 40 verses intertwined through the New Testament and the Old Testament saying, worship me, the Lord, worship me. And two, the second theme of the Bible, there's only two themes, loved ones, fight me, two themes. And the second one is the love that He has for His people. Number one, what He needs is worship. Number two, He showcases His love for His people. So it's about revealing His heart for us. For Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to the riches in glory in Christ Jesus. This kind of came to me, according to His riches. What are the Lord Jesus' riches? Like what is His riches that He provides for us? The shepherd that leads us down the right path so we can bear the good fruit, the fruits of the Spirit, so we can have a long, healthy life, and so we can proclaim His name to our future generations, and all of a sudden fight against the principalities of this earth and the evil one. And so, what are the riches? Man, if you told me, when I was at that dinner table back in, I don't know, 2012, when I was not a Christian, I was a hater, I was an atheist, all of a sudden, I was like, man, God is for people who are too weak to want it themselves. They need some crutch to rely on, like, oh, it didn't work out for you, and you just, oh, it's God has a different plan for you. No, you're just weak and you didn't work hard enough. That's what I thought. And oh boy, was I wrong. But if you told me back then when I was an idiot that, oh, if you sign the dotted line and become a Christian, you'll get money, you'll get cars, you'll get fame, you get power. It's such an easy life. You have God on your side now. Like, it's so easy. I'm like, sign me up, you know? I thought I was going to be a professional athlete and I had my signature perfected, you know? I'll do that signature. Sign me up. Number 10, right? Obviously, that didn't work out, but according to His riches. So His riches, the Lord Jesus provides us, His provisional riches is not materialistic things. Jesus says, I give you peace, not as the world gives, not the peace that the world offers you in the sanctuary of protection of money and success and, you know, bills are paid and, you know, community. No, I give you peace, so do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. I give you a different kind of peace. His provisional riches in glory in Jesus Christ is just the fact that our name is written in the book of heaven. And He will always be with us. What are the riches of the Lord? Is that our name is written in heaven, in the book of life, and He will always, always be with us. Always be with us. What riches we have. So number one, the personal shepherd. Number two, the shepherd's provision. And number three, the shepherd's presence. Presence. This another Charles Spurgeon quote, to know that He is mine, and to feel that He is ours is the height of bliss. Oh man, we get so busy wrapped up in social media and community and relationships and friendship circles and all the drama that comes with hanging out with too many people at once or whatever. So many things. And so when we just stop and just realize that He calls us His own and He is ours. The Lord Jesus calls us His own, and He is ours. He is our Savior, He is our friend, He's our comfort, and He's our ultimate protection. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. You guys, that is a ministry of a lifetime. You do not need to know all the ins and outs of this Bible. Oh, that's a weird pastor thing to say. Of course I want you to know so much, but it has to be simpler than that. has to be more simple than trying to figure out how to be a theologian to your friends. It's just to say, I follow a God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I just love, I have this story always in my mind where this pastoral team of a church was on a circle, and they were talking about how they should write their bylaws and all their doctrines and statement of faith and stuff to put on the website, like who do we believe in, all very important church polity things, but like there's so much bickering going on. Oh, we should include that. Well, I don't know if we want to be charismatic or if we want to be more reformed or if we want to be reformed with a seatbelt. Like, what should we be? What does baptism mean? And this one guy stands up and says, you know what? May we be a church that understands that Jesus died for me and died for us. And may we tell others who are lost that he died for them too. And it's just like, you need to calm down, because we all know people who don't follow Jesus, and we just need to stick it through. We need to be a persevering saint and saying, you know what, I'm going to stick it through with these people and with this person, our family members, and just continually to remind them in the best way I can. Sometimes it's not with words. Sometimes it's not with sending Bible verses to people who don't believe. It's not sending songs. It's not doing anything. It's just being a person of presence, proximity ministry, being around those people. But saying, you know what, when the time comes, I'm like, hey, Jesus died for you, and he loves you. That's all you have to say to people. The shepherd's presence. So number one, the personal shepherd. Number two, the shepherd's provision. And number three, the shepherd's presence. So kind of in conclusion, and what I want us to sit with for 10 minutes, is that just as the shepherd boy held onto the fourth finger, symbolizing the personal nature of his relationship with the shepherd, we too can hold on to the assurance of God's personal love for each of us. As we trust in him as our shepherd, he leads, provides, and accompanies us on our journey of faith. So take in your right hand during our 10 minutes. If you don't have that memorized, or if you don't have that memorized online, you're going to spend the next 10 minutes. And I know it sounds elementary, but I really want you guys to focus on that my part, is my shepherd, and how he did everything for you, and everything that he gives you is because he is your shepherd and what he's given you. So for 10 minutes, focus on the shepherd being yours and him adopting you. So I'll be back in 10 minutes. The Lord is my shepherd.